This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Syria on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Serie A podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Freelance Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella, alongside myself, Dan Roebuck. Another profitable week last week. We're sort of inching up week by week, or at least you are.
So slowly, slowly.
Well done, Daniele.
We need to catch up with our friends. With the Ligue 1 friends. The Ligue 1 is doing really well. So I need to catch up with Steve. He's important, but you know, slow and steady, I would say.
Yeah, we don't mind that. We don't mind that. We're in profit, so that's good. We've got five games to look at here that you've identified where potentially we've got some decent value bets. There's a really big game as well, of course, on Saturday at Milan-Juventus. We'll get to that shortly, but we're going to kick off. We'll do it in chronological order. So we're going to start with the 3 p.m. local game on Saturday, which is Sassuolo against Inter. A huge win for Inter in midweek. Inzaghi, he needed a result, I think, more than a performance. It wasn't scrappy, but when it wasn't pretty, but when you beat Barcelona, it doesn't matter, does it, really?
No, it doesn't. And that's what they needed, the team spirit, the fight, the players helping each other, making the extra run, doubling up on the Barcelona players, keeping Lewandowski quiet. Yes, of course, the second half was entirely Barcelona. Let me clear it straight away. It was a penalty, I think, from Denzel Dumfries. He touches with the hand. They should have had a penalty. Having said that, the first half of Inter was good. They kept the ball well. They only lost it when they were trying to force a difficult pass, but otherwise they looked in control. And as I said before, it's a very good reaction. They stood up, really, for themselves and for the manager. Now, they go away as Sassuolo, which is always a bit tricky. It's been tricky recently for Inter, especially after a very difficult game in the Champions League. They're going to be tired mentally, physically, and they got a couple of injuries they're going to carry. Will they go off to a flying start at the Mapei Stadium? I am not sure. And I think if Inter are going to win this one, which they must win, really, it could be another dogged performance, a very strong defensive performance. They could win it by playing as a team, as a unit. So that's why my pick, it's under 1.25 goals in the first half, minus 124, which means if there is only one goal in the first half, so the same as Inter Barcelona, by the way, you win half a stake. If the first half finishes nil-nil, obviously you win the entire stake. Why do I say that? Because I think Inter missing Correa, they're going to play against Lautaro, who was doubtful for Barcelona, play with Dzeko, missing Lukaku as well. Probably we see a little bit of turnover, but maybe not so much. I think Inzaghi is going to trust the same 11. They could start a little bit slowly, maybe. Sassuolo is a strange team this year because they don't score as many, although they scored 5 against Salernitana last weekend, but they concede pretty much nothing. So they become perhaps a little bit more expert in managing certain situations, not necessarily defensive masters, but missing Berardi, who's the main man. I think maybe they're more concerned on not letting goal away. But let's not forget, they gave Milan a good game when they drew 0-0 and gave match day 2, actually. Berardi missed a penalty there. Could be tricky for Inter, not necessarily 3 points, although they are favorites, but you know, the odds for Inter to win are quite decent as well. Under 1.25 goals in the first half, minus 124. Of course, Inter then playing Barcelona again in the return. Very important for the qualification in the Champions League.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I like this one. I think there will be some mental letdown to a certain extent. It's such a big game. They've got such another big game coming up. You can understand if they might be a little bit sluggish over the first 45 minutes. This is a decent one. This is minus 124, under 1.25 goals in the first half. A big game, of course, just from a neutral point of view. It's always one of the biggest games in the Serie A calendar. It's Milan against Juventus here. Contrasting fortunes in the Champions League. Juve beat Maccabi Haifa. Rabiot coming to the party at long last. And Milan, I watched a bit of the game against Chelsea. Chelsea was slow burners, but into the second half, it could have been worse for Milan. And, I mean, it's strange because Milan were top of the group and Chelsea bottom. But off the back of that, Milan have got some soul searching, I think, here. I mean, this is a big game. How do both teams look at this coming off the Champions League result?
It's weird because now the Champions League almost suggests that the Juventus are the informed team and Milan are going downwards. But I don't think we need to be too concerned about the midweek results. Also, consider the home form and how good Milan has been last season, this season, how poor Juventus have been in September. Yes, of course, they beat Bologna 3-0. But honestly, Bologna didn't really pose a threat to them. And against Maccabi Haifa, Juventus were quick off the block. They scored the first one, the other the second one. And Di Maria was really good with 3 assists. But he's going to be still suspended for this game. They gave Milik a little bit of a rest. But in the end, they suffered against Maccabi. Maccabi had a couple of chances maybe to make it 2-2. And Allegri was really upset about it. So it wasn't very easy after all. But they get the job done. And, you know, they start getting a little bit harder to break down. When it comes to Milan, I was disappointed by the lack of personality somehow, the lack of character, reaction. I think they were a little bit flat in the second half. Of course, big chances change game. If the Cattelaer scores at the end of the first half, maybe we're talking about a different game. But in the end, it was a depleted Milan without Theo Hernandez, without Calabria, the two fullbacks, without Kjaer, without Messias, without Salamakers, only Origi only in the second half. In the end, you know, the rotations, they do count without Maignan. Of course, you know, Tatarusano was a little bit doubtful, you know, in the first half, especially, you know, the disallowed goal from Mount didn't really cover himself in glory. But for this one, okay, Milan could be fatigued, I think, because of the lack of rotation. Juventus go there knowing they cannot afford to lose, really. It could be a scrappy game, perhaps. Maybe with Juventus trying to be really, really hard to beat. Maybe they switch back to a back three and try to hit them on the counter with Vlahovic and Milik. I can't see Juventus conceding too many goals here, I would say. So we'll go for a Asian handicap 0 in the first half, plus 138, which means if Juventus wins the first half by scoring the first goal, I would imagine you do win a good amount of money. If they draw the first half, you get your money back. Obviously, if Milan bounces back and starts strongly and they win the first half, you lose the stake.
That's how it works. When we're looking at the Asian handicap in that first half, we're looking for Juve to start strong. Off the back of that win in midweek, Milan are hurting, certainly after that Chelsea defeat. Should be an interesting one. Incidentally, the match price is here, plus 105 for Milan, Juve plus 285, which is a big price, draw plus 240. Let's move on to Udinese-Atalanta, which is a tremendous game in prospect here, simply because the way that they've started the season. I mean, this is one for the neutrals to watch you wherever you are in the world. This is an afternoon kickoff on a Sunday. Udinese-Atalanta. Udinese plus 160. Atalanta plus 180. Draw plus 235. Over and under here, we go over minus 127. Under minus 108. So it's tight across the board here. Atalanta are unbeaten. Udinese could go top if they win, obviously, with Napoli playing a little bit later. This is a great game in prospect, Daniele.
Champions League clash. I mean, they've been the revelation of this season by being completely different. Now, if you swap the shirt, you will think that Udinese Atalanta and Atalanta Udinese. Okay, it's a little bit complicated, but I'll explain it. Because Atalanta, they are stingy. They don't score this season, but they don't let any goal in. What has happened to Atalanta? I think this is down to Gasperini being really clever, really astute, and understanding that at the moment, the talent he's got up front somehow is not clicking. There are a couple of injuries, Zapata, Muriel. There are a couple of players that I don't think they are properly informed, especially Malinowski and Pasalic. So instead of going gung-ho, as he used to do in previous season, he reverted to a more cautious approach by doing something really, really simple. One fullback goes, one fullback stays. They don't push the line as high. And they are confident that with that kind of quality up front, they always going to be able to nick a goal. Or if anything, as I said, they leave the goal, they keep the clean sheet, and that's enough. There's the best start of the season they ever had. You know, if they continue like this, they're going to win the title, because normally in the second half of the season, that's where they improve. But I am confident that as things go on, Gasperini will be very intelligent in changing the style again. And I think we'll see more goals from Atalanta as the season progresses. Not playing in Europe for them is a massive bonus, because again, it gives time and space for Gasperini to experiment. Udinese, the opposite. They score a lot, they create a lot, they concede a lot, they keep going until the end. And this is a young team that the second year has improved. You look at some players like, of course, you got Destiny Udoje, who's going to go to Spurs next year. It's improved. You got Samardzic, you got Lovric, you got Beto. And then you got some experienced players, De Lofeo, Pereira, that still come good. And Bijol, probably one of the unsung heroes, already 2 goals. He scored the winner at Verona, scored against Inter the winner as well. What a great buy from the Russian league, from Udinese. You know, they were very good, very quick in understanding the circumstances there. Now, I think Udinese are going to press them high. They're going to create a lot of attacking phases. They're going to be very direct. And that's probably will force Atalanta to come out a little bit more. So I can see more goals here, perhaps, than what Atalanta normally scored. I can see a high-scoring game. Both to score, I like it. Over 2.5 goals, I like it. Put them together, plus 105. Both to score and over 2.5 goals, 105.
Just over even money. That's happened in the last Udinese 3 games. And as you just mentioned, it's role reverse this season. But you know that Atalanta, at some stage, they have to revert to what they've been like over the last few years. And it might just be against a side like Udinese, who will play on the front foot and maybe allow that space in behind for them, Daniele. This is going to be a good one.
I think it's going to be a good game. It's not going to be cagey. These are two teams, as I said, they are not fatigued from European competition. They're going to be fresh. They're going to be playing the best 11, so they're going to go for it with no regrets, because I mean, the position they have in Serie A, it's great regardless.
One team that always goes for it, or it seems that way, is Napoli. I mean, this is an extraordinary season already. It might end in tears like last year did, but I'm just going to rattle through some outright prices here, some futures prices for those listening and watching. When it comes to Napoli, who are away at Cremonese on Sunday, early evening local time. Cremonese plus 600, Napoli minus 250 to win. But just on the futures, plus 250 for the Scudetto now, they're joint favourites. Plus 150 winter champions, which they were they in the end last season? I think they might have just dropped, didn't they? Just before Christmas, I think, last season. They just dropped. But they were nearly there. But they were a terrific first half of the season side. And plus 2,000 here to win the Champions League. Now, Liverpool, who they destroyed, of course, in Naples, are half that price. Give us your thoughts on those three markets, Daniel, for Napoli fans, for Napoli backers. Which is the most likely? Do you think that they can win the Scudetto? Have they got any chance in the Champions League? What do you think?
Winter champions, I like it because of what you just mentioned and how strongly they started last season. And for me, now with Osimhen returning to full fitness, I think they got five games, I think they can do it, and they've already played Milan and they beat them, which is obviously very good. Scudetto title, Scudetto champions, possibly. I think they could be there until the end. As a starting 11 in Italy, I think they're second to none. Depends on the rotation. Champions League winners, it goes, I mean, I don't know, because I mean, it's difficult to think about an Italian team being able to compete until the end, both domestically and in the European stages. The last two Scudetto winners crashed out at the UCL in the Champions League group stages. They finished bottom of the group, Milan and Inter. So that would be quite something. You know, that would bring us back to the triplete of Mourinho 2010, or to Juventus of Allegri when they went to the two finals 2015 and 2017. And of course, they won the Scudetto back then. But if you look at those teams, they were much, much stronger and much deeper. Let's see, because normally Spalletti's team have got a dip in form in January, February, always at them. Inter, Roma, Napoli last year. If they are still top in February, well, probably maybe. We are onto something.
Okay, they take on Cremonese, as we mentioned. They're very short price favourites to win. So again, we've got to try and spy some value, squeeze a bit of value out of this one. So what's the selection for the game?
The selection is over 1.25 goals in the first half, which pays just minus 103, so not quite doubles your money. So basically, you win if there are two goals in the half. If there is only one goal in the first half, you lose half your stake. Why did I go for this? Because I think no matter who they play, where they play, Napoli are going to be on the front foot. They're going to apply the ferocious counter-pressing that is typical of modern football, of the German teams. So basically means you have the ball, we lose it, you have the ball, we press you high, we force the mistake, and off we go. That's what they did with Ajax, after all. You know, they left the ball to Ajax, knowing that as soon as they lose it, they could actually counter-attack. Cremonese likes to play from the back. I do like Cremonese because they got a style, and they apply the style. They know what they're doing. They don't just improvise it. But sometimes they are susceptible to mistakes. You know, it is a newly promoted team. Sometimes the quality doesn't match the intention. Little mistake and they can get punished. But, you know, I think they can give Napoli a good game, but they were thumped by Lazio at home in the last home game 4-0. So I think Napoli, despite being without Osimhen, maybe he's still on the bench. I think they can score a couple. Yeah, over 1.25 goals in the first half, minus 103.
A quick word about Raspadori, because he's scoring for fun at the moment, 6 goals in his last 7 for club and country. Only 1 goal in the league. But he's been scoring in the Champions League. He's been scoring for Italy as well. You mentioned Osimhen getting back to full fitness. Do you expect Raspadori still to start at the weekend? And when Osimhen is back fully fit, do they both start? What's the situation there?
They won't both start, because I think that would mean changing the 4-3-3 system that works really well with the wingers. But I think what Raspadori gives to Napoli, it is something different from Osimhen, because it is a player that perhaps doesn't attack the space behind the defense that much, but is very good at linking up the plays, and behind him, other players can run. I can see Raspadori playing alongside Simeone, for example, because Simeone is more of a central or out-and-out striker. With Osimhen, I am not sure, unless, of course, Napoli needs to get back into a game, then probably they'll put them all in. But yeah, I mean, at the moment, he's the most exciting young player in Serie A, young player, Italian young player, of course. And Napoli were really quick and really clever at getting him into the transfer market.
It's been incredible what Napoli have done so far. They lost so many good players and players that have been synonymous with the club for a long, long time over the course of the last year, with the likes of Mertens and Insigne, of course, Koulibaly all going. But they've reinvented themselves. They've got these young players. And I think a lot of the neutrals would like to see Napoli go on and win the Scudetto. But as you mentioned, we'll see what happens come January, February. We'll see where they are in the league. One more game to look at here. And this is the Sunday late game locally. This is Roma against Lecce. We are recording ahead of Roma's home game against Real Betis. Betis going well in La Liga at the moment. But for Roma domestically, a huge win against Inter last weekend. Lecce only 1 win so far all season. How are we tackling the main game on Sunday?
This one, I'm looking at goals. I'm looking at a high-scoring game, which normally is the outcome when Roma plays the so-called small team. So over 2.75 goals, that pays plus 108. That means if there are only 3 goals in the game, you win half a stake, more than 3 goals, and you win the full stake. Why? Because despite Roma not deserving to win against Inter, they were lucky, I think. The draw would have been a fair result. They have grown in mentality. They have grown in confidence, in self-belief. And that's what Mourinho has given them in the second year. You can tell. They never beaten a top team before. This time they met an Inter that was in crisis, but they were really clinical at taking the chances. So they're going to go into this game with a stronger belief, of course. And normally against the small teams in the last 3 years, they've been very, very clinical. They always beat them. It's always the question with Roma, can they take the chances? They're going to face a tough opposition in Betis Seville. And I think, again, this could be another high-scoring game. But Roma, I've got the firepower up front to make some changes, maybe start Belotti for this one, still coupling with Dybala, with Zaniolo back to full fitness. And I think, you know, the numbers in Serie A suggest that Roma are doing all the right things. They're taking more shots, more corners. They think hit the post 7 times already. It's like the top joint in Serie A. When it comes to Lecce, I think they could contribute to the goal tally because, again, Lecce is a little bit like Cremonese, different style. Lecce is more direct, but it is an attacking team and it's got very quick players. Banda, Cisse, Strefezza, technically very good, already 4 goals in Serie A. So I think they're not going to just sit back and defend. I think they're going to approach it similar to when they went to the Maradona and did 1-1 against Napoli, where, you know, they gave Napoli a good game, really. Over 2.75 goals, plus 108.
That's the selection. A reminder, Roma short price favourites, minus 278 to win the game. Lecce plus 750. We like over 2.75 goals at plus 108. Just before we wrap up, I know that a game that you quite like the look of, but unfortunately we're recording on Thursday and not just one, but both of the teams in action playing in Europe tonight. That's Fiorentina Lazio. Lazio, I thought, were good last weekend. I called a game for English TV. We talked about Immobile ahead of it and we thought, we wonder if he'd start. He did start, but then he missed a penalty.
Well, that's the karma. But we got that right. We said under 4.5 goals. Yeah. It was 4 goals. And as we said, Spezia, of course, they were toothless when they travel away.
I mean, Lazio are playing well at the moment. I mean, that's 2-4-0 wins coming into this. Well, I mean, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen tonight. They're at Sturm Graz. Fiorentina are away in Scotland against Hearts. But if everything goes to plan, would you have a sort of like lean to in this particular game? Lazio plus 190, Fiorentina at home plus 140, tie plus 240. Over and under here is minus 127 for over, minus 108 for under. Any sort of lean in this one, or does it really depend on what happens tonight?
Dana, I cannot work it out why Fiorentina are favourites going to this one. I mean, honestly, considering the form, the way they've been playing, the fact that they've not been able to create much and capitalize much, only 7 goals scored so far in Serie A. Really, I don't understand it. And last year, Lazio won in Florence convincingly. And, you know, it is strange because, you know, two teams with the new manager in the second season, Italiano and Sarri, Lazio have improved, also defensively, only 5 goals conceded in Serie A. Fiorentina, they seem to have gone back. Words. So then that led me to think, was he only due to having Vlahovic? But not really, because they're not really creating much. So no matter who you play there, you could put Haaland, but I don't think he'll score for Fiorentina because they're not creating, they're not getting the ball there. So my lean here is for Lazio not to lose the game. You can go for a double chance, you can go for an Asian Handicap 0 in the second half. Because Fiorentina is so shamefully favourites, which I don't understand why, then you get good prizes for the better team to actually get a point or get 3 points from El Franchi.
I think that could be an interesting one. It's last up as well, so we'll look out for that one on Monday as well. They both play tonight, Fiorentina away at Hearts and Lazio taking on Sturm Graz. Fiorentina have lost the last one. I'm with you. I think Lazio could be the better, or at least, you know, side with Lazio somehow. That is one of the last on over the course of this Serie A weekend. Daniele, thanks for your company as per usual. Daniele's Twitter handle is at DFISI. I'm at Dan Robe. I might even tweet this weekend. You never know.
Do that, please. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting from last week. You haven't.
That wraps it up for this week. Some really big games in Italy. And of course, Italian sides back in the Champions League next midweek as well. We'll be back on Thursday for more Serie A previews. We'll see you then.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Serie A on the Bet Rivers Network.